You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Never underestimate a woman born and raised in New York City.
Never underestimate your AfterBuzz TV host. Welcome to the show, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz After Show for The Real Housewives of New York City, my favorite city. Season 5, episode, can you believe it, number 9 already.
Crazy.
It's crazy. It means we're all getting older, and our lives are going south.
Wow. Okay.
Just mine, anyway.
Uplifting beginning.
But we are really excited tonight because we have another exclusive interview with a cast member of The Real Housewives of New York City. We've become the place to listen to these women get real and get down to business.
Yeah.
We're the second housewives of the city. So tonight we're going to have on Heather Thompson. Heather is hollering all over the place. She, I think so far, is going to be our biggest personality that we'll chat with. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Heather's slightly intimidated. But we're really excited.
Heather can handle it.
She can handle it.
Yeah. I think she's going to be just fine.
Yes. But anyway, so we didn't see Heather too much tonight in the episode, which is a little disappointing.
It was a little disappointing.
And I do have to say, on that note, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but I found the episode to be a little boring.
Well, it was very much concentrating on one thing, you know, which wasn't, at this, as it turns out, Heather. Although I was saying to you guys beforehand that I really liked that little, I always call it like a little filler segment when they have that 3 minutes that may not necessarily do with all the things that are going on in the show, but it's just a little, like a little segment piece. I actually dug it. It's nice to be reminded that even though these people's lives seem so far beyond our scope or whatever, they go out to dinner, they talk about their relationship, they try to talk about how they want to make their marriage better, and
they just do it with millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, but it was nice. It was a nice little humanizing segment right there. It was great to see that. And I was like, okay, great.
Yeah, it was nice. I would have liked to see more. It was so short, and it's always that segment that catches you so off guard because you think you're thrown back into the full show.
Right.
And you just went through 2 minutes of commercial, and then they give you 30 seconds, and then they're like, and 2 more minutes of commercial.
Right.
And you're like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So I wish we saw a little bit more of Heather tonight, but we can get all of our fill in the next few minutes.
Absolutely.
But I do want to say thanks to everyone on iTunes for listening. If you guys will be our heroes, our saviors, go on iTunes and rate and comment. We really, really appreciate it. We love to read them. It gets us through the day, the night, the morning, the afternoon. So go ahead and do that. Let us know if you want us to change anything. We really respond to what people say. So go get your opinion heard on things that really matter in life, Real Housewives of New York. And
preach.
Also, yeah, and also tell your friends. And download the iTunes app. It's a new app that is free, and if you subscribe to a bunch of podcasts on iTunes, you can get them all in one place right in your iTunes app, so do that as well. But anyway, moving on, Heather's going to be calling again earlier in the episode because of the New York time difference as we're on the West Coast. So to everyone listening, we are going to get to the interview first, as we did last week with Aviva, and then we will move on to discussing the rest of the show. Anyway, anyone?
And so, anyone?
When you just said you thought the episode was a little bit boring, it was all about George, and he's not a housewife, let's face it. So afterwards, I tweeted Aviva and said, are we going to see more of George in upcoming episodes? And she said, a lot more.
Really?
And I just feel like they're kind of turning this into the George reality show. And to be honest, like, you know, it's like he was beating a joke into the what was
the, into the ground?
Yeah, thank you. I was like, what's the phrase? He just kept saying it over and over, and it was like, yeah, you're 80, you may have Alzheimer's. He was literally, you told that joke already.
He was literally beating a dead horse, which is his weenie.
Yeah, I love it. But yeah, I was just,
you didn't just say that word.
I love it. It's my favorite part really? Of the whole episode already. But I just was so, I was getting so sick of it. It was like, we get it. He's a horny old man. We get it. And, you know, that, like, George and then the designer.
Rajana.
Rajana. Okay, well, we get it. Rajana's probably going to be a housewife next season. We get it.
Yeah. We get
the throwing Rajana's designs down our face.
I don't know if that's going to...
Hey, guys.
Yes.
We have our guest on the line.
Oh, yes.
Hey. Hey, Heather. Welcome.
What's up, mamas and papas?
Holla, holla.
What's up?
What's doing? I got to tell you, I am watching the U.S. kick ass right now, and I'm so psyched.
Nice.
The girls are killing it on the floor. I mean, they are just rockets, man. It's amazing, right?
What are they playing?
And I'm drinking a glass of red wine while they fly through the air.
Excellent.
What? Nice.
Heather, I'm sorry. What's the which event are you watching?
I'm watching the U.S. women's gymnastics. I'm watching the floor.
That's right. I had to review. I've got Olympics all over my head.
And by the way, we medaled tonight in swim. I'm so excited.
That's
I love the Olympics, I gotta say.
Go USA.
Next time we should have an AfterBuzz show on the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you guys should.
Yeah. You really should. No doubt.
Yeah. I only watch the Olympics on the Today Show. I like to see what Meredith is wearing, and then I move on. But Heather, anyway.
She's not there anymore.
Yeah. I know, but they had her in for like a day. I was excited. But But welcome. Thanks so much for calling. We're really excited to have you. And I think all four of us were discussing how you're going to be our biggest firecracker as of yet. And we're really excited to talk to you.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I hope you're ready. I mean, she's Molly. That Molly boy, she's got it out for me. She's like, oh, that fake Heather mug. Smile. It can't be real. Let me tell you, these choppers, that smile, it is so real. It's scary real. It's so funny how when the cameras flash to me, I mean, the editing is hysterical how... I mean, I do look sinister, I have to admit.
I have to, I feel like we're at therapy, like we're at family therapy, and we have to get it all on the table. And Heather, you know, I've been a little critical, but it's all been for comedic effect, and I really do love you.
Oh, I do. I love you.
I do.
I think it's great. No, it's so funny. When Anna, you know, Anna and was reaching out to me, and then when I got the invite from you, Molly, I was like, all right, where's my girl Anna? Because Molly's invite is scary. This invite is warm and delicious.
This is awesome.
I'm only kidding. No, it's all good. Well, that's why you're having me on the show, because then you can ask me all kinds of questions and find out the real
Well, that's actually, you know, it's funny because when we had Carol on, 2 weeks ago, and one of the first things I asked her was about you, and I said, does Heather really talk like that in real life? And she said, yeah, Heather is genuine. How you see her is how she is. And then I felt like, oh, now I feel really bad. And then, afterwards, yeah. By the way, I've been calling everyone Mama Bear for like 3 weeks now. It started as a joke, and now I call everyone Mama Bear. But I actually just wanted to know, like, Luann called you gangsta chic when you guys were in London. I was wondering what that means to you and you know, how you identify yourself in that way, because it just seems like from the show, what we've seen of you so far, you know, your house of the Berkshires and this and that, like you didn't grow up urban.
You know, I guess I kind of feel like I did in a way because, you know, I spent 12 years in the heart of hip hop. You know, I really did. When we launched Sean John, you know, it was lines like Cross Collars and Fat Farm, you know, had kind of led the way. But, you know, I was with Puffy in really the height of his career when he was really, really like on everybody's lips. And same with Jennifer Lopez. I mean, I was with them when they were dating and the whole nine yards. And then, of course, I worked for the lovely Beyonce and Tina Knowles. And so for 12 years of my life, I was really thrown into the heart of Black America, and it is a beautiful, awesome place. And so there's a piece of me that took that, you know, and it's very real, you know, it's very genuine. And my Black friends all say to me, when I look in the mirror, I see a Black woman. And, you know, that's what Carol says. So there are isms, if you will, that you pick up from being around, you know, someone from the South, potentially. Like, I say y'all, and I grew up in upstate New York, you know, and I'm not like being Madonna in London. I am, you know, it's really how I talk, and it's really how I am. And it's just like you are in mixed company. If you're sitting around a table with, like, a bunch of people with, like, you know, ties pulled up to their throats, the first thing you want to do is like, so what's up, everybody? What's cooking? What are y'all doing? Let's throw it down. It's crazy. You know, and they're like, wow. You know, it's kind of fun to throw, you know, that sigh of life into life and just be comfortable with it. And I hate that it's a stereotype in a way, because it's actually a culture. You know, it's a culture, and it's a piece of a culture. And I do not wear my pants slung low around my buns, but I definitely speak in, you know, some hip hop terms. And you say I'm so 1990, and you know what? I think I am, because, you know, I'm 42 years old, and I live very much in the world that I live. So I guess if I was fake, I'd be trying to be up on all the latest terms and up on all the latest stuff, but. You know, I think Gwen Stefani wrote Holla back in like 2005, so I'm still a little bit more current than you're giving me.
It's still your anthem.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, you know what? Now I have to say something really nice to you, and I really mean it. You look amazing. When you said you were 42, I was like, oh my God, wow. I would have like thought late 30s maybe. But anyway, you look amazing.
Oh, thanks.
We all love you.
Two kids later, and 42. I'm the same age as Puff and Jennifer. We, you know, we're really peers, and mm-hmm. I just, you know, I had a lot of great experiences working for them. And Beyonce was like a little girl to me. You know, she was younger than me. It was so funny. But they're all really great, really hard workers, and they taught me a lot. And I take a piece of each of them with me, and proudly.
Well, we know that Sean Combs likes to go by a lot of different names. What did you address him as?
I still call him Puff.
Yeah.
Today, I still call him Puff. There's no Diddy or P. Diddy, really, to me. Every now and then, if we're like in mixed company, like I'll throw the Diddy in there, because I just feel like it's respectful, because that's what he wants to be called. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, I call him Puff.
And you guys are still in touch. Do they support Yummy Tummy at all?
Well, Poppy doesn't wear too much Yummy Tummy.
Well, yes. Is that why he looks so tight?
He'd look really hot in it, though. He's just hot in it. They all wear it. Beyonce, especially, you know, after her little blue was born, you know, she was calling me right away. She's like, girl, I need the leggings. I need this. I need that. And, so she definitely wore it even before then. I mean, Beyonce was really encouraging to me when I launched Yummy Tummy, because it was something I kind of thought I could do on the side. It was like this kind of aha moment, really good idea. Wow, I should share this with everybody, but I still have a really important job that I love, and I love working with the Knowleses. And so let me see if I can do this on the side. But then Yummy blew up, and it was bittersweet because I had to really go put 100% of my focus on that. So they were really proud of me, and they were really proud of my accomplishments, and to see that, you know, this great product that they loved took off. But, you know, on the other hand, it was sad to have to break up.
Heather, it's Molly again. I have to tell you that I went to high school with Beyonce, and her locker was next to mine freshman year.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, High School for Performing and Visual Arts in Houston.
That's amazing.
Isn't that wild?
You can speak from that. Is she a genuine, sweet, lovely person?
She was so sweet. She was the very first person I met at freshman orientation, and she introduced herself to me and said, my name is Beyonce. It's like fiance, but with a B. True story.
That's
cool. Yeah, B, I got to tell you, she's, I call her the true star when, you know, I mean, Puffy and Jennifer, everybody, they all had their amazing qualities, but Beyonce was one of the most humble people that you'll ever meet. We would do photo shoots, and, you know, if she was 10 minutes late, she would not only greet everybody and shake their hand and say, hello, I'm Beyonce, I look forward to working with you today, but she would also be so apologetic for being late, so humble and aware of everybody's time and what it takes a team to make her who she is, and she's just one of the hardest workers I've ever met. she busts her ass. And when you see a show, man, you are entertained from start to finish. 2 hours of sweat and unbelievable entertainment. And I'm proudest of her, I gotta say. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just awesome.
So how does her etiquette and kind of social grace compare to all the women that you've experienced so far on Housewives?
Oh, very different. Beyonce doesn't swear at all, barely. She's a real Southern girl. She's a real Houston, you know, Southern girl. She's, you know, if Tina and I would be, like, kvetching about somebody in the corner or whatever, and she'd be like, Mama, Heather, you know, we're like, oh, God, you know. Like, Tina's a lot more brazen than Beyonce is, and I have a terrible potty mouth. Here, I blame Puffy and Jennifer completely for it. And, you know, Beyonce would be like, when I would be around Tina, she would start to pick up my potty mouth, and Beyonce would scold us both. She's a very, very Southern girl.
Do you have the biggest potty mouth of the Housewives?
I think so. They just fly out, you know. I don't even think about it. No holds barred. You know what? I am what I am, as Popeye says. And, you know, I can try to, you know, really stop swearing, and I can try to be a better person and not swear, but I don't think swearing makes me a bad person. You know, it's
no.
Like, what the
no.
fuck?
No, no. It gives people personality sometimes.
Yeah, we concur.
Yeah. So has being on the show, have you seen any, I know Yummy Tummy is already a huge company. You've done really well. Has it grown since the shows have started airing? Have you seen a difference in the sales at all or interest?
Most definitely, for sure. It's one of the reasons I did the show, to be, you know, quite honest with you, is it was brand awareness. It's a 4-year-old business. It took off. We have a very successful business. It's an international business. It's doing great, but I wanted more people to know that they could go get it, you know, with all due respect to Sarah Blakely and Spanx. You know, Spanx is like the Kleenex of shapewear. So, you know, it was important for me to let people know that there were other choices out there. There was kind of a different perspective on it out there. And, you know, it's like you ask for a Kleenex because you don't know, you know, puffs are softer.
Right.
So it was definitely the catalyst for me to do the show when they called and asked me if I would consider being a housewife. After I said, hell to the no, I said, well, wait a minute, how many viewers do you have?
Right.
Well, you know, and that's just true. Yeah.
I actually went on their website the other day because I have, you know, admittedly worn Spanx a few times in my life. And I really liked what they had on the Yummy website. I especially thought the jeans looked really comfortable and cute. And I was wondering, where does one get them? Do they have to order directly from the website?
Yeah, you can order. I mean, you could go to, like, the Blue Jeans Bar and, you know, great places in New York, like really denim kind of driven specialty stores. I haven't gone to the department store with the denim yet. It's really a brand new launch. It's still a soft launch is what I call it. And it's like, you know, working out all the kinks. And I really do speak directly to my consumer all the time. And my website really gives me that opportunity. And so does the specialty store. If you're in, you know, when I'm in Bloomingdale's, I definitely still get feedback and I have men on the ground. But, you know, when you're launching a denim collection, it took me a year to develop it. I'm a denim designer. I know what I'm doing when it comes to denim. And I think we've got one of the best fitting jeans on the market. And the beauty of it is that it's a universal fit. So that one jean can fit all of us girls, you know. And I've even had a few guys put it on. But, you know, it's a universal fit, so it takes out the guesswork. You know, it's not like, oh, what am I, the curvy, the slim? Like, what fit am I? It's just a really, really great engineered jean, and it's American fabrics. It's high quality. It's a premium denim brand, but it's not $300. Yeah, you know, it's affordable so that you can get into it and you get a lot of finishes and you can have fun with it. So I'll send you all some jeans. What do you think of that?
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And then
we love
talk
Yummy,
about
baby.
It for yourself, you know? I talked to Aviva Carroll. Like, they wear the jeans, and Luann wears my jeans and loves them. And, you know, Sonya's like, I can't fit. And I'm like, because you keep saying you're 27. And that's why you keep giving them to your interns, you know, she cracks up. But they do. She loves my leggings. They all really do support the brand. Even Ramona wears Yummy sweats. So it is a good brand. Whether you love me or you hate me, you gotta love Yummy.
Well, not to diss Ramona, but I do want to kind of get into that stuff. But I feel like with your product, it feels very legitimate. You know, that's a real product. And we have to say, with Ramona's wine, we never know if that actually exists, if anyone drinks it outside of Ramona. Is that a real wine? I know we saw it. You tasted it on the show. Tell us what it actually tastes like.
You know, I'm not a big Pinot Grigio girl. Ramona knows that. So I don't love the Pinot Grigio grape so much, and I don't really love Pinot Grigio so much. So I'm not a big fan of Pinot Grigio in general, but Ramona's wine is real. It's definitely real. Mm-hmm. She's out there when she's not filming for the housewife. She's out there promoting her wine and doing, like, in-store appearances with her wine. And it's a real business. And she was able to, you know, with the platform of Housewives, she was able to launch a business. And she gets behind it. And she does definitely drink it every day. So you got to love a woman who loves her own product. You know, holla at that.
Yeah.
And so no, it really is a real business. And although I didn't love Pinot Grigio, actually at Jacques' wine tasting, a lot of people thought that Luann and Jacques were being really, really cruel at that wine tasting. I had a totally different perspective on it. It was fun. It was like poking fun. It was in good fun. But they know Ramona drinks her wine every day. They know that she loves her wine. And I thought it was a kind of a very Luann and Jacques way, because of the turbulence that have happened in the past with Ramona. It was a fun way of helping her promote her wine, because Jacques had, you know, French Burgundies and these, like, you know, $100 bottles of wine at that event. So to bring Ramona Pinot Grigio, I thought, wasn't as much as a diss as it looked like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's actually a great point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she
so, I mean, everybody can have their opinion on it, but Ramona wasn't even really that mad about it until, you know, Aviva talked about it, and then she was like, wait, maybe that was kind of shitty, and maybe I should be pissed. But she wasn't really mad at all at the wine tasting, and quite frankly, to bring it back full circle, I learned about her wine, and I learned about some of the things that were in the bouquet, the citrus, the floral, when I tasted the wine after the sommelier taught me about it, it definitely was a fuller body. You know, it tasted better. It really did. And I had no idea it was her wine.
Wow. Well, that's very good to know. I feel like she's been vindicated. What is your relationship like with her now? Do you guys speak at all? I know Aviva said that her relationship with Ramona isn't very stable at this point.
Yeah. No, they're not too stable. We Ramona and I are trying. You know, it's tricky. It's tricky with us. But we're trying. I think that's the best way to say it. You know, throughout the entire show, as angry as we get with one another, there's never hatred there. I think there's frustration on both of our parts, because I think Ramona thought that we would be tight when she heard I was coming onto the show, and, you know, I was a legitimate businesswoman and all these sorts of things. And I was a fan of the show. I definitely watched the show, but I watched it infrequently. It wasn't something that I tuned into all the time. And what I did really watch was Beverly Hills. So I didn't really watch too much of New York. I never watched New York when Bethany was on. So I didn't have a history with Ramona. I clearly saw some of her antics on the few times that I, you know, did tune into the show. But I walked into the show, like, virginal, I like to say. Like, I wanted to, you know, have my first experience with everybody and have no, you know, preconceived notions or opinions. And the first time I met Ramona, I was, like, horrified. I mean, she was rude to everybody in my office. She was rude to the production team. It was literally the second time I had filmed, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, this bitch needs to, like, get checked.
Yeah.
And it was very genuine and honest. And it's not fake and phony, and I can realize. I mean, I always knew I had a big smile. It's funny because a few of my friends from high school I haven't spoke to in over 20 years have contacted me and said, your smile is exactly the same way it was, like, you know, in ninth grade. And I do have a huge smile. I mean, I always knew I did in pictures, but watching yourself on TV and the way they edit me, it's like hysterical. It's hysterical.
Well, as Aviva said, she said, you guys all kind of become like cartoon characters. That's what she told us last week. So it's like they've kind of made you like a cartoon and made it all about your smile on the show.
Definitely. I think I agree with Aviva. I think what they do on the show is they take any quirkiness about your personality or anything that's a little bit different or, you know, funny or good to poke fun at, and they definitely exaggerate it. So when I'm laughing at someone and they cut to me and they just keep, you know, like I might have been looking at something totally different or whatever, but they keep cutting to me with that, you know, crazy smile, and it's I mean, it's hysterical. Right. And it really annoys some people. And then on the other hand, people are like, oh, my God, look at that delicious, you know, sparkly smile. Like, how can you not love her? I mean, there's two totally different reactions to it. It's like sinister, phony bitch. And then it's like, oh, dazzling, lovely, warm heart.
So are you looking, like, are you, when you go online, do you look for these opinions and things that people are saying? Or
no,
do you try to avoid it?
No, I'll be totally honest with you guys. I look at nothing. Yeah. I look at nothing. The only thing I look at is when, you know, people send me something, Aviva especially, because Vivi will send me stuff all the time, or my blog on Bravo, because, you know, we write our blogs every week, and, you know, in order to write a blog and get the, I have to read it, because I want to know if I'm getting my point across, if I'm writing well, if they're hearing what I'm saying, because, you know, the blog is your opportunity to kind of, you know, poke fun back at the editing and say what was really going on behind the scenes when that happened was as follows. And it's fun to give viewers a sneak peek, because, you know, I got to give editing a ton of credit. Man, they have so many hours of footage of us, you guys, and they have to cram it all into, you know, 20 episodes. And there's so much that they can't cover it all. And so it's interesting to see what storylines they take, you know, and how they do it. But it's also interesting to say, well, we shot that, you know, most scenes that we shoot for 2 hours. And you guys can see, you know, up to 3 minutes or as little as 30 seconds of a full episode. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That we consider an episode, I mean, scene, a full scene, you know, where you got your hair and makeup in a different outfit, and you'll shoot sometimes 3 scenes a day, and you got to change what you're wearing and change how you look, because they want to be able to move scenes around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow. Right. This is a question that I've had actually ever since I started watching Housewives. When you guys go to parties or out to dinner, are you going to get your hair and makeup done beforehand by someone from the crew, or is that left up to you guys sometimes?
No, it's totally left up to our own accord. We're not compensated for that. Like, you know, they mean, clearly everyone's compensated for the show, but they're not like, here's your hair and makeup, honey. It's not an allowance.
Right.
So we are up to our own accord to look how we want to look. And it's difficult because sometimes, I mean, I'll watch the show and I'll remember a scene and everybody looks so beautiful. I mean, everybody. And, like, the lighting is so crappy because you just never know if you're in someone's home versus in a restaurant versus in the yummy showroom, which is, like, tons of windows and a ton of fresh light. You know, it's very different. So you're like, oh, my God, I look like a hooker. I got, you know, big red stripes on my cheeks. So I think my lesson this year is, you know, less is more. You know, I don't wear a ton of makeup in life. You know, I like to kind of keep it down tone. I'm like the Tammy Faye Baker, like tons of eyelashes and, you know, just a clear gloss. And I think I'll probably be toning down my makeup a little bit because I think it's too hard to, you know, it's too hard to gauge what lighting you're going to be in and you look crazy.
I love your fishtail braid.
Oh, thanks. That's
amazing.
Those are really easy to do, actually. You just twist 2 pieces of hair instead of 3.
Oh.
You go online and learn to do it. It's really easy.
Wow. Did you do that yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't do that myself because when we do the talking head interviews,
they
we are encouraged by Bravo to have hair and makeup. And for those, they do cover our hair and makeup. And so sometimes it's really good and sometimes it's really bad. And I'll have the same hair and makeup team. And it's like, we you know, I get up from the chair and we're like, okay, we look great, like rock and roll. And then I see the interview and I look like a wet rat. I'm like, what happened? I think honestly, with kudos to the teams, and the cameramen get pissed when they see it. I think when you compress the video, compress it, so, you know, they edit it and they compress it to send it to, you know, First Cut, and then they compress it to send it to Final Cut. By the time they get it to the TV, I think sometimes in the compressions of the video, it just changes, you know, the lighting and the texture of what you're seeing.
Yeah. Well, I do have to say the reason I ask is because I feel like everyone always looks really put together and really good. And I just always...
Yay!
Yeah. I always think, oh, my
okay,
God.
I rewind and erase everything I just said.
But...
we're super fly. We're so fly.
I just assume they had hair and makeup following you guys everywhere, to be honest. So,
No. You get really good at it yourself, and you know the times where you need the professionals. And I have to give a shout out to my team, Kira Becker and Alan Topper. They're amazing, and they're buddies of mine that I've worked with throughout my own career on other people. And then when I did the house, I was like, knock, knock, knock. I'm like, all right, you guys want to play? Let's play. And it's been fun, you know, because I am a fashion girl, so I like to change up my look a lot and try new things. And I think that comes across a bit on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think there was a scene where, I shouldn't even bring this up because I'm not going to know exactly what I'm talking about, but there was a scene, when you had the Italian glasses on in London and no one was getting it, how trendy they were. I could see that you kind of seemed disgusted at them.
Yeah, I was like, you girls with no fashion is a hit.
And
that was funny because they were like, Rachel Marx. Meanwhile, I can't tell you the tweets I got about where can I get them? They're so amazing. And of course, I wear them again in the episode just to rub it in their faces.
Right.
So stay tuned because you'll see them again. My Italian frames reappear with my lenses put in.
Are you still wearing those today at all?
Yes, I wear them at work all the time. I am unfortunately losing my vision at 42 years old. It's like one of those days, like it's like all of a sudden you pick up a paper and you're like, why can't I see the words? And, you know, I look at profit and loss statements and things that are really, really tiny type. And so I use them really as a magnifier. And being the fashionista that I am, I also sometimes use them as an accessory.
Are there any specific fashion blogs that you like to go to?
You know, I don't really. I wish I did. I got to tell you. I mean, I love a lot of fashion blogs, you know, that have reached out to me about Yummy Tummy and wanted to learn more about the product. And I've done some, you know, interviews with them. And they're all great. I mean, I love bloggers. I do. I just really do. I think that they're, you know, it's a new wave of editorial. It's a new wave of journalism. And I think it's mad cool. But I don't have a whole lot of time to surf the web much, so I wish I had more time, but that's probably what I lack the most in my life today is time.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, it's good because, you know, it's good to do things. It's good to have stuff going on. And with that question, I do want to ask, what is it like going from being a businesswoman to being in the spotlight, kind of becoming the star?
It's very different because, you know, I was always one step behind, you know, the spotlight and one step behind the celebrity, and I was very comfortable there. So it was, you know, it took a little bit of soul searching, but what happened when I launched Yummy Tummy was it was a brand that was really, I launched this brand because I felt terrible about myself. I had just had a baby. It should have been the happiest time of my life. Unfortunately, Jack was born really sick. And so we were dealing with that and all those emotions. And I had, like, serious weight gain with my babies. I gained 62 pounds with Jack, and I ate like a pig and deserved every pound. And then I gained, like, 61 pounds with Ella, and I ate like a rabbit. So, you know, I just make big babies, and I'm like the Catherine Zeta-Jones of pregnant women. You know, I just get pregnant everywhere. And when Jack came out, you know, it's like from behind you look great, and then you turn around, people are like, holy shit, you know. I once had one woman say to me, are you having twins? And I said, no, there's just one in there. She goes, are you sure? I'm like, yeah.
She should be on Real Housewives.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go home and cry, you know. But it was... it was really a feel-good initiative because I went to the shapewear department to boost my confidence. You know, I wanted to boost my confidence. Beyonce was encouraging me to come back in the office. We didn't know what was going to happen with Jax. And, you know, they wanted me to know that I had importance, you know, if God forbid my child were to die, that I was important to people and that I had a really full life. And, you know, it's a hard situation when you're dealing with someone that's going through that. You're like, what do I do? And their Tina Beyonce's, you know, take on it was like, come in the office, be with us, you know, work with us. We love you. You're important. And so when I went back to work, I didn't want anyone feeling sorry for me. You know, I wanted to go back and be like, I'm cool. I'm together. I'm all right. And so I felt like the first way I do that is like, you know, feeling good on the outside, you know, will help you. So I went to the shapewear department to boost my confidence. When I got there, I was like, okay, these are literally my grandmother's girls. And then Jonathan came in the room when I was pulling one up, and he was like, what the hell? And I was like, get out, you know. And it was just horrific. So I literally took out my sewing machine, and I blew off the dust, and I cut up all the shapewear I had bought, and I made this panel for the middle, and I cut up a tank top I had in my drawer, and I made the three-panel concept. And it was just one of those aha moments. And 10 patents later, you see what Yummy Tummy is. So I really was encouraging. And when people would see me, they'd go, oh, girl, you're losing the baby weight. You look good. And I'd say, oh, please, it's my Yummy Tummy. And I would lift my shirt and I would show them what I had created. And they're like, oh, my God, that's genius. I want one. And so that's how Yummy Tummy was born. I started sewing them in a sample room to give to friends. And Jonathan, my husband, was kind of like, do you want to maybe start selling these things instead of giving them all away? But that's how it started. It was an encouraging brand, and it was meant to make people feel good. And so that's why I say that in my tagline, my success is built on making women look and feel their best. And the challah at the end, you know, as most of you know, but so many people tweet me and say, is that a Jewish bread? Like, what does that mean? It's so funny. Oh, they email me back in Spanish, like, hola, you know, or whatever. I don't know how to speak Spanish. But, you know, it's, like, funny. And it's really an encouraging shout-out to all the women out there that I'm talking to. Like, you girls, you yummies know who you are. And those of you who don't know Yummy, when you get to know it on the show, I'm shouting out at you too, because it's really an everyday shaping essential. It's like, I call it my third essential, my bra, my panties, my yummy tummy. It's how I dress every day, whether it's a slip, whether it's a tank, whether it's a bottom. It's like a really good foundation for all types of women. And, you know, I'm a size 4. I'm back to fighting weight before I was, but I wear a yummy tummy every day.
Wow.
You know, cool. And when I was a size 12, I wore it and it encouraged me. And when I'm a size 4, I wear it and it encourages me. So it's with me through thick and thin.
Literally.
Heather, speaking of your pregnancy, do you want to tell us a little bit about Jack's illness and if there are any charities or foundations that you recommend or are affiliated with? And do you want to speak about that a bit?
Sure, definitely. Okay. Yes, absolutely. So Jack had a rare liver disease called biliary atresia, and he was actually, unlike most children born with biliary atresia, Jack actually had an upper respiratory infection. That was his first issue. So when they cut the umbilical cord, he couldn't breathe. He went to take his first breath, he couldn't breathe. And so it was like, you know, trauma in the delivery room, and, you know, the NICU, the neonatologist came down, and they started bagging him, trying to get him to breathe, and, you know, brought him up into ICU and had to put him on a ventilator. And, you know, the first 48 hours of his life were literally touch and go, and we didn't know that he would survive. And as he slowly got stronger and his lungs got better and he was off of the ventilators, off of nasal cannula, which people who are listening that have ever had this will understand, and was starting to breathe on his own, the liver and the spleen were swollen, and they were just not, you know, they weren't going down. They weren't losing the swelling that they had. And so when the liver lighted on us, they said, wow, we think he probably is going to need a liver transplant. And we were like, what? Holy shit. And the disease biliary atresia is, there's only hypotheses about it. And one of the hypotheses is that it's just a genetic malfunction. It's not a mutation. It's just that, you know, the DNA doesn't come together perfectly in that finite biliary tree, which is not to be too complicated, but off of your liver, you have a biliary tree, which drains all the bile off of your liver into your large intestine, because the liver processes every single thing that you put in your mouth. Right. So, you know, anything that's good goes back into the system. The liver sends it back, and anything that's bad, the liver pushes it through the biliary tree and out the large intestine. So when your biliary tree is atrophied, it's closed up, it doesn't work anymore, your liver corrodes itself. And the two hypotheses is that, one, it just didn't form properly, or two, that your own immune system destroys it. And it only happens in infants. So Jax was fighting a severe lung infection. So I think that, you know, his own immune system destroyed the biliary tree as it was still forming. Now, no one will back that because there's only hypotheses about it, but I have to believe that's what happened to Jax. So what happens to a biliary atresia baby is most times they have a natural childbirth, everything is great, they come home from the hospital, and at about 3 months old, the mother calls the pediatrician and says, my baby's poop is white. Like, is that natural? Is that normal? And that's a pure sign of biliary atresia, because what happens is the stool is acolic. It is of no color because the bile, the poison, isn't draining out of your system, and it's corroding the liver. Wow. And that's what biliary atresia is. And I have to tell you, from being on the show, it's been so rewarding, because the second reason I did the show was a platform for organ donation. And I never in a million years would ever have guessed how many people have reached out to me telling me that their children are on the waiting list for livers, and or they were born recently with biliary atresia. And I speak to every single one of them, and it is like the most rewarding thing in the world to just have a mother know that I know exactly what they're feeling. I've been in their shoes, and I can tell them that it's going to be okay. Because if you want to get an organ transplanted, the liver is the best one.
Yeah.
And you can someone who needs an organ transplant, like, we can save them. Someone who has a different type of disease, or, you know, some type of, you know, other genetic malfunction that can't be fixed, you know, or Duchenne's muscular dystrophy or something terrible that we just don't have a cure. We're blessed that that's our problem. And it's hard to swallow, but, like, I try to explain to them, like, you're going to be fine. This is going to suck, and there's going to be tons of turbulence ahead, but you are going to be fine, and your child is going to live, you know, and be healthy. And they're, you know, some children have two or three liver transplants they don't take. You know, we were lucky. Jack just had one liver transplant, knock on wood, and, you know, and he's thriving. He's doing well, and he has bumps in the roads, but, man, he's just a normal little dude, you know, and I'm so lucky. So the charities that I want to talk about are the Kellner Pediatric Liver Foundation, and that's my own personal charity that I got together with my girlfriend, Samantha Kellner, and we formed to save children who need liver transplants, and that's what we do. We've saved two babies today. We've given them full transplants. We support the full transplants, and you're going to see a little bit of that on the show. The other one is the American Liver Foundation. ALF is liverfoundation.org, and Kellner Pediatric Liver Foundation.org. And then, of course, donatelife.net. You know, donate your organs, because God forbid you're in a tragic accident, and you lose your life, you certainly don't need your organs on the other side, and people here are just dying waiting for them. So, no pun intended, and that's the truth.
Right.
Yeah. Heather, those are my charities.
Can you repeat the name of the first one? Did you say Kellner Pediatric Liver Foundation?
Kellner, I'm sorry, thank you. It's Kellner, K-E-L-L-N-E-R, KellnerLiverFoundation.org.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yep, thank you, guys, I appreciate that.
Yeah, well...
And then, Yeah. I want to say one more thing, by the way. I absolutely am going to convert to Judaism, and I live a Jewish life. Anna, I wanted you to know.
Yeah, that was one of my questions.
My plan is to have a bar mitzvah with Jack.
Oh.
And so I'll formally do it with him, and I'll learn Hebrew with him, and I'll do all that stuff with him.
I will love
that. I wanted to tell you that.
Will you tweet me a picture?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, we have a few years ahead of us because we only seven, but I will most definitely tweet you a picture. And hopefully you'll have your own show by then, Anna Koppel for mayor.
Yeah. Thank you, yes. Well, we will stay in touch. That makes my heart happy.
That's sweet. That's very sweet.
Yay! I know. Me, you, and Aviva, we're all, you know, half full Jews.
Exactly.
Heather, you're half Italian, right?
Yeah, half Italian, half Scottish.
So you're basically 100% Jew.
Basically, exactly. By injection, as you all know.
I love that.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. It makes us so happy throughout the week knowing that we get to come and talk to you guys. So if you ever want to call back again, please just tweet Anna or myself or even Molly or your mom. And we'd love to talk to you again.
Oh, Mom will be the first. I'm going to start calling Mom. I'll be gangsta chic and she can be ghetto fabulous. So we're just going to keep it moving.
Thank you.
We'll go fur shopping together.
Nice.
Terrible like
nice.
That.
I love it. Cool. Well, thanks again,
Heather. Listen, my boy, I didn't get to talk to you too much, but I hear you back there. And next time we'll talk a little bit more about the branding meeting.
Absolutely.
You guys will have to see what happens. Because, again, you don't get to see a lot of the behind the scenes. But I appreciate, by the way, your backup, Chris, about the branding and how people are too personal about it. But
Yeah. Wait
until next week.
Okay.
Because what I wanted to do is just get a working logo moving with her so I could talk, because I didn't know I was going to have to do her whole packaging. So that was a whole other thing, because I agreed to help her with her logo, and then she's like, oh, and I need a box, and I need this, and I need that, and I was like, oh, alrighty then.
Just a small detail.
Because it is crazy.
Yeah, we're excited.
I like it.
Yeah, we're excited. We saw Ramona in that room, so we can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, they ambushed me. Oh, I was mad, but it was all good. I don't get too mad. It takes me a lot to get pissed off. If you're a racist, I'm going to hate your guts.
Well,
but other than that, you know, I don't really hate so
if
much.
You get really if you get so pissed, you can take it out on our show and call us next week.
Yay! Okay, I will, you guys.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
All right.
Have a good night.
Take care.
Keep rocking. You guys are doing great.
Thank you so much.
You too.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Heather Thompson, everybody. Another interview here and gone. I can't believe it.
That was great.
That was fun.
I feel like our listeners are going to be like, Molly, you're so phony. You've been hating on her for like 8 weeks and now you're like kissing her.
Well, you did say I love you like 3 times.
Yes.
But you know what, you guys, I have to be honest. The more and more I've watched the show, I have liked Heather. I'm not lying. Yeah. I have liked Heather. I just was annoyed by the way she talks. But I have to say, you know, your feelings about people can change. And I find her now like so endearing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't think at any point in time, you know, I think Carol was saying it best. It's like it's sometimes it sounds like it could be mean somewhat, but it's funny. I mean, we do it for, just like you said,
comedic
relief and comedic effect. This is not like we don't go home and burn these people's names in effigy or something like that. I mean,
you don't.
We're entertained by the show.
And let's be honest, like if it was just a love fest, people wouldn't listen to the show.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. So.
But right, you I have totally to have agree. Opinions.
Right.
But
yeah.
You know, I totally agree with you. And that, you know, her story about how she started Yummy Joe, I found that, and her story with her son. Those are phenomenal stories. Phenomenal stories. I'm super glad she shared them with us.
Yeah, same here. And I mean, I've said from the beginning that I've always been a team Ramona. But as I was saying earlier, before we started, that Ramona is in context with the other women from the prior seasons. She was different because. Mm-hmm. She made sense around Jill Zarin and Kelly Ben-Simone. She made sense to me. But now that you have her up against people that also make sense to me, Ramona has lost her traction so much with me, especially the way I'm hearing her talk to people who work in restaurants, as we have had all experience doing so, you know, ordering her cherry tomatoes chopped in half. And in this past episode, when she was
talking to the catering
Aviva's,
staff.
Yeah, at Aviva's, she was telling them what order to serve the dinner. First of all, Aviva should tell them what order to serve the dinner if anyone's going to tell them the order.
Right.
You know?
That was so outrageous to me.
Yeah, that was, I did not understand what she was doing, taking over the role of the host, talking to someone else's catering staff.
You are a guest in somebody's home.
Right.
What are
Shame
you doing?
On you.
If you're a guest in someone's home, you know what you should do? You should go to AfterBuzzTV.com on their computer and click on the Amazon logo and buy something with their credit card information. And then
totally.
Because if you guys do that, you know, AfterBuzz gets a little bit of the love from that. So it helps us bring more awesome shows where we can talk to show people from the show and actors and talk about all these gushy good things. So just click on the Amazon logo on the AfterBuzz TV website.
Nice.
And
buy some yummy tummy.
Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, let's
talk a little bit about what happened in the show. Just I mean, it was luckily it didn't not that many things happened, so it's probably going to be easiest to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of George. And I think all of us are in agreement that it was
too much George. I'm not looking forward to more George.
I'm not either.
This is my favorite part about George is when they went to
his name.
Say George again.
George.
When they went to that final event where there was art and the synchronized swimmers, when they first went and lay down on that bed, his teeth were glowing. They had black lights there. His teeth were glowing. It was amazing. That was my favorite part about it.
They're glowing because they're so chocked full of Viagra or something.
Real
it's like in the
teeth.
System.
No. You
know, but he did give us the best spit take by Mario that I've ever seen on reality television.
That was amazing.
I actually laughed out loud. That was fantastic.
I never believe a spit take or whatever they. I don't. No one ever laughs so hard that you spit out.
I did. I didn't have something in my mouth when he said when George said that to Carol, and then it's the only difference between me and Mario was that he had just taken a swig of something.
I don't have that kind of joy in my life.
But you knee slap. You do it.
Yeah,
different ways.
Knee slap.
There you go.
With my mouth closed.
You smile.
But it was hilarious. Bless George's heart. That was some good entertainment right there. I liked seeing that.
Yeah. One thing I have to say though about this week, going back to what you were saying about Aviva and Ramona, is that it disappointed me after we got to know Aviva last week a little bit. I feel like we can all pretty much say Aviva's an assertive person. She seemed very straightforward, assertive, confident. You know, she rocks. I loved her.
Yeah.
But she never stands up to Ramona. It annoyed me that she never said, please stop doing that, or stop telling me what to do with my leg. I've had this leg for 40 years. It annoyed me that she never stood up to her. It's like...
Well, I think that's why Ramona did what she did to Aviva, because she saw an opening, because Aviva hasn't stood up for herself.
Yeah.
Because Ramona, I've never seen her like that with anybody. Even, you know, the woman from the other years. I was so shocked at how poorly she was treating Aviva in Aviva's own home.
Yeah.
You know.
I think she does it with Sonia a bit.
Sonya can handle it in a different way. There's almost a chemistry there that allows to have a little like pushback. Sonya can have a little pushback, but Aviva doesn't seem to have that.
Well, but it's not unreasonable that Aviva would then approach Sonya afterwards to kind of try to find out if there was a tactic that might work best,
yeah,
or
smart.
Something that she, I mean, you know, instead of just sometimes telling somebody right off the bat that there is something to be said for directness, but I didn't think it was out of the ordinary that she'd say, Sonya, so here's what's going on. Is there anything you suggest as to how I would, you know, do you think I should just be direct with her, or is that going to be, you know, weird?
Right, yeah. Right. Well, I thought it was a good tactic, but I don't think it really got her anywhere as of yet. But obviously we're going to see the blow up because
we'll
saw
see.
The previews from last week.
Yeah.
I was so hoping we were going to get more of that this week, but we didn't. I thought Sonya was pretty good at the way she dealt with George. If it were me, I would have just left. It gives me too much anxiety.
Yeah, she was definitely
made me
a good sport
nervous.
About it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, she said even he's too much for me.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. If you're too much for Sonya.
He's too much for
Ramona
anyone.
isn't too much for Sonya.
But that wasn't, I mean, that, I still didn't understand exactly how that whole thing shook down anyways. It was like, I couldn't tell who he was trying to, he was just everywhere.
Yeah.
He was all over the place.
Carol seemed to love it, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you're not put in that situation that Carol's getting hooked up with him, so there's a little less pressure.
Yeah, Carol could just kind of mess with it because she was only in and out for one night in Miami, so she's like, I'm just going to have some fun.
Well, you always know it, like, when you were, you know, in junior high or in high school, and the boy that you liked knew you liked him, you were never yourself around him. But the girl who didn't necessarily say that she had a crush on him could be, like, the easygoing, fun-loving one who would end up flirting with him more because there wasn't that awkward tension,
right?
You know, so that's why, and not that Sonya liked him or anything, but I do have to say, he was, until that episode, until the scene where they were, where the swimmers were, I could handle him up until that scene. But when he poked her with his yardstick, I was like, yeah.
I was over him from the minute, honestly, the first three times we heard him make a sexual joke.
Yeah.
I started to find it really gross and offensive, to be honest. I just feel like if a guy is, it's kind of like if a guy's talking that way to a woman and she's not picking up on it and he keeps doing it, it's kind of like borderline sexual harassment. Not to get real about
or
the real
vaguely
husband.
Or vaguely desperate.
Well, but it's creepy. I would be like, dude, stop.
But the thing is that Carol and Ramona were loving it. And so he probably wasn't picking up that Sonya wasn't, because the two other women were totally feeding into it. Mm-hmm. So, but Sonya was not having it.
No.
Yeah.
But, you know,
she's
Ramona,
very polite about it.
It's like doing a bit on stage and it's like starting to bomb and you're just continuing on with it. And like the audience is going like, okay, you know, move on, get next topic. And then they never do. And then he just ends up bombing. I think not that he bombed with the, you know, Ramona and whoever, but I think he bombed with everyone at home.
Mm-hmm,
you know, I think he was like failing miserably at trying. But I like characters. So it was just a little bit too much of him. But I think we're also now beating him like a dead horse.
Yeah.
Because we have about 10 minutes, is there anything specific you guys want to talk about?
There's something specific I want to talk about, and it's true. I watched the entire episode last night like this.
With the facial yoga.
I did face yoga the whole entire time, and this morning
I did neck yoga.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do I look better?
With this?
You
do
look younger.
Do I look younger?
You look slightly like that woman.
Like what?
Her name.
Like
Rajana.
Rajana. You look like Rajana.
I look like Rajana?
I'm kidding.
But anyway, I did. I literally did. I watched the whole thing like that. And then my jaw was kind of hurting. It's like, I don't know if it's good for me. I guess I'll find out in 10 years if it's good for me.
Yeah, you're supposed to. You're working muscles. It's supposed to be sore. And that's why it stays young.
Yeah.
It's because you're working out the muscles.
Yeah.
Yoga isn't just stretching. It's lengthening and strengthening.
But do you want to lengthen your face muscles?
Well, maybe the muscles to make them longer and leaner.
But you know
anyway,
what? I don't know. I can't say her name.
Rajana.
Thank you. I should be, of all people, I should be able to say her name because my husband's Indian. But Rajana.
Ranjana.
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 There you go.
Looks amazing. And I will continue to do face yoga for at least 2 minutes every day if I can look like her when I'm 56.
Yeah, definitely. I think Ramona and Sonya, who are being wise guys, could have used it the most, as kind of Aviva said when they were in the pool.
Yeah.
And they
Ranjana's
were kind of
facial expression during that whole thing was priceless. She was just like stupefied. Like, are you kidding me?
She got so irritated
you're
with
like,
Ramona. It was amazing.
This is what I gave up my Sunday in South Beach for? I don't know if it was not South Beach, but wherever they were.
Miami.
That was her, yeah.
Well, I don't know, guys. I think we should probably cut to a commercial because I do want to get to our special segment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some
news
and gossip.
You can just go to the special segment.
Oh, okay, great.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
That was our producer's commercial. Just advertising how straight to the point he is.
Thank you, Phil Svitek.
What'd you girls have for our wonderful segment of what she should have said?
I'll start us off.
Yes.
So when Ramona and Sonia were getting ready for the dinner in the home, in Aviva's home, they were just being ridiculous girls together. And they sort of shooed Aviva away, and Ramona said, "This is our thing." And Aviva said, "Oh, I'm not included." And Ramona said, "No." What she should have said was, "Yes, Aviva, of course. Come join us. This is your home."
Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course, you're right. Welcome into your room in your house.
Yeah.
Right.
Please join us.
I mean, Ramona
saying no.
Ramona was, I mean, she was absolutely out of control.
She's the worst.
One of the probably worst things I heard her say this season so far was when Aviva, again, at her own dinner table, says, "Ask my father why his last relationship ended." And Ramona shouts out, "Because your mom died."
Good one.
But she wasn't even trying to be funny. It's no. Like, yeah. Obviously, that's why one relationship ended, but that was not his last relationship. And Ramona continued on, and she shushes Aviva. Yeah. And she's like, "No, your mom died 5 years ago." And it's like, okay, what she should have said is nothing.
Right.
I mean, nothing funny or anything. But just don't say anything.
Why was she shushing Aviva?
When someone's hosting a dinner at their home and they bring up their father's relationship, you don't have to instantly bring up that your mom's dead.
Yeah.
It's a little awkward. Save it for dessert if you're going to do it at all.
Right, yeah. Right.
And then we also had a funny one, which was from Mario.
Uh-huh.
He's so attractive.
I don't find him attractive.
Really? I find him very attractive.
You guys, this is a big moment. This is the first official what he should have said.
Oh, what he should not have said.
Well, I'm changing it to "I'm glad he said."
Oh, okay. All right.
Because he said to George, "Mi casa es su casa, but not my wife."
yeah.
But I assume George would know Spanish because he lives in Miami.
We think.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty good on Mario's part because I don't see him as necessarily like a funny guy.
I have a what he should have said.
Okay.
I didn't know we were doing mine, but they're fair game.
Yeah,
right?
We can take off the S.
Sure.
So when Heather, my new best friend, Heather and Jonathan?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm like having memory lapse tonight.
It's okay.
When Heather and Jonathan were having caviar, he said, "Delish." He should have said, "Delicious."
No comment. I don't know. Why are you looking at me all of a sudden, Molly?
I don't know. I find it weird when men say delicious.
So I've got one from Ramona. What's up with Ramona? The first thing she does when she comes to Ranjana's house is, "Oh, that's awesome. Buy cheap to sell high." She's in the penthouse of like an extremely successful designer who obviously is doing well for herself. She should have just said, "Beautiful house. How lovely to have us. Thank you so much."
You're
what
right.
was that?
Right.
Oh my God! Yeah, you're totally gonna buy cheap and sell high. It's like, I'm pretty sure this is penthouse. It's not
right.
cheap.
What she's basically saying is this place looks cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like, oh, did you get on this? Get in on this on the ground level? Like it was just down, right?
You know, one thing I'll have to say is Heather said that Ramona drinks her Pinot Grigio every day, and she's not speaking very well for its side effects.
Right.
But yeah. She is for the name of it because it's wine, and it seems like she does plenty of that.
Right.
So that's it for our special segment this week. We're so excited to do it again next week, and I think it'll be good because it's going to be a really juicy episode.
I hope so.
In some news and gossip, we have slow news.
AfterBuzz.
It's a slow news week here on the Real Housewives news front. But Sonia Morgan will be hosting a tasting event in Westchester this weekend. If anyone listening wants to attend, she, you know, does all these parties, and she's using Lulu cakes, which she uses a lot. So, breaking news, which I'm really excited to tell you guys about that. I would like to see her host an event, though, because she's all over the place. It'd be entertaining and be fun. So, if you guys want to try to get tickets or something, go check that out. And this is, I think, more exciting if you're in the house when it happens. But Ramona and Sonia and Mario, maybe exciting for Molly, surprised the cast of Girlfriend Confidential, which is a new Bravo show, in their home. So they just like appeared in their home randomly. No warning, no invite. I'm assuming they were probably shooting. That's how they got in. But they woke up in the morning to Ramona, Sonia, and Mario like looming over them. And they thought it was exciting. And they thought they were dreaming when they saw them. They were so excited.
Oh.
Anyway. Crazy news, guys.
Creepy.
Crazy
it's
news.
A little creepy. It's a little weird.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, there. I think this new Confidential show is about women in New York. So I think there's some sort of, like, reason.
Which they happen to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think there's some reason.
I see the connection.
And, all right, let's end this on a prediction note, guys.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, I'm going to start you guys off. I think Heather's going to call in next week. I really do. I think it's going to be that bad. Because we didn't really get too much of a dish with Heather just now on the phone. She seemed pretty, you know, calm, wasn't, but she said she was pissed over this. So I think it's going to be pretty intense, the fight. I think this will be like the orgasm fight. You know what I mean? Like, it came to a head and they got to get it out of their systems, Heather and Ramona. Sounds creepy. Yeah. That was a gross way to put it.
It's a weird way to say it.
You know what I mean? It was like, it's like almost, they got to do it and it's just going to be like a traffic accident.
Yeah. So, similarly, I was going to say I predict that this is the falling out between Heather and Sonia.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah.
I think George is going to get together with Carol. I said it.
Nice. I hope so.
Aviva said he's going to be on the show a lot more. Like, with who? I'm thinking it's going to be Carol.
Mm. Good call.
Carol.
I,
like
that. No. I predict that I might buy some yummy tummy between now and then.
And nice. We also predict that Heather will send us free jeans.
She better.
Yeah.
So, she said
if you make jeans for men, I'll take a pair. I mean, I'm just saying.
You wear women's jeans. Just take the women's jeans.
Whoa.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening here at AfterBuzz TV. If you want to follow any of us on Twitter, you can follow me specifically, which is the most important part, at Kristen Carney, KristenCarney.
And you can follow me on a Koppel at Koppel for Mayor, KoppelForMayor.
And you can follow me, Molly Harper, at Molly Comedy. That's Molly with a Y, comedy.
You can follow me at Yermanger, YERMANGUR.
She just said the word comedy. She didn't say anything.
That's so
funny.
Awesome. She's like, comedy at comedy. That's awesome.
Well, everyone, thanks again for listening. Make sure you tell your friends about AfterBuzz and especially our after show here at Real Housewives of New York City. And we will see you next week.
And thanks again to Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.